You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 2 days after my 40th birthday, I found a lump on my breast, which pretty much derailed the rest of 2024 as I thought it would play out. I thought because of my age, the fact that I have no family history or genetic markers made my case rare, but I was wrong. According to the American Cancer Society, breast cancer rates are increasing among women under 50. A silver lining is that there are journalists using their own diagnosis to better understand breast cancer. Marielle Segura is the host of NPR's Life Kit podcast and was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 35. She just finished acute treatment earlier this year, and she put together a screening guide to help others. I spoke with Marielle just before the holidays about the advice she learned along the way. Marielle, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Nikki.
So we have had a year that I think has some similarities. But I just want to start off with, what are you comfortable sharing about your breast cancer journey?
Well, I was diagnosed in November of last year, 2023, the day after Thanksgiving. It was after my gynecologist felt a lump that was basically under my arm during a routine breast exam. I was just going, because I'm in my 30s, I wasn't going for mammograms regularly or any other kind of breast imaging. And she felt a lump that I hadn't felt myself. And I really didn't think it was going to be anything because I didn't have a strong family history of breast cancer and no known genetic mutation. Well, I went through treatment from January of this year through July. I did surgery, a lumpectomy surgery, and then I did chemo. Even though mine was early stage, I had a high oncotype score, which is a score that is provided by the company Exact Sciences. And that tells them what the likelihood is based on their data of the cancer coming back as metastatic. And so that's why they wanted me to do chemo and why they'll tell other people in my situation to do chemo to lower that risk as much as possible and treat the rest of your body, because surgery treats the specific spot. It takes out the tissue. Radiation takes out or basically does cleanup, like it's like a vacuum going around and sucking up the little extra glass shards, you know, after you break a glass. And then chemo is supposed to treat the rest of your body, anything that might have, any cells that might have escaped and landed somewhere else and take up root there. Yeah, so I did that. The prognosis is good. Like all my scans look clear. The tests that they've done look clear. None of these things are 100%, right? We learn this, that there's always some risk that it could come back in different ways, locally or distantly, but it's the best possible scenario for having had breast cancer at 35.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty much a step behind you. I also went through that oncotype score, which is the higher number from, I think, 0 to 100, the higher likelihood that a cancer could come back or metastasize in 10 years. Yeah. My oncotype was pretty low, but because of my age, I'm 40, makes them concerned. And so they would want to err on the side of caution by doing chemo. The fact that it was a physician that found the lump under your arm, I mean, I know for myself, I found a lump on my breast. I had just turned 40. I had my birthday on Friday. I found the lump on Sunday. It was Mother's Day. I'm so happy that I scheduled a doctor's appointment that week because I wasn't going to, because I don't know, going to the doctor feels inconvenient. I also didn't even think about breast cancer because I don't have a family history and I was 40, right? It made me think about maybe were there other signs that I wasn't aware of? And for you, finding a lump under your arm, did you realize that that could be tied to breast cancer? Because I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily think that.
No, I didn't realize that the spot that it was in was even part of my breast tissue. So I didn't feel that lump anyway, but if I had, I'm not sure I would have immediately thought breast cancer. And I think there's something else to know about when you're feeling your breasts. Breast cancer doesn't always present as a lump. 1 in 5 times, it presents as something else, which can be changes in your nipple, unusual discharge, bleeding, but also a scaly rash sometimes. It could even present as breathlessness or back pain, dimpling in the skin. It can present as swelling or reddening of the skin as well. And so the important lesson here is to feel your breasts regularly and know what they feel like at different times of your cycle, if you menstruate, and laying down, standing up, in the mirror, just palpate them with your fingers, just feel around and kind of know, so that if you do feel a change, you go see a doctor. Your primary care doctor or a gynecologist would both work well, and then get imaging done. And the oncologist that I talked to said, ideally, if you see a change that lasts longer than 2 weeks, that's when you want to see a doctor.
Yeah, that is great to keep in mind. I wasn't that great at doing self-exams. And I actually, looking back, there was an indentation in my breast before feeling that lump, which I think would be considered a dimple. I didn't realize that that could be potentially connected to breast cancer. And so initially, you know, you kind of want to kick yourself and say, man, I should have just gone earlier. But I think that's a common thing. Also, life is so busy, and navigating healthcare, scheduling a doctor's appointment, paying to go to the doctor, whether it's a copay or you have to pay out of pocket, there's a lot of circumstances that come into play. But when I was listening to your Life Kit episode on breast cancer, it is just so informative and so helpful. I know breast cancer is the second most common cancer for women in the country, but I can speak for myself. I have learned so much after my diagnosis. And I'm a journalist, and I thought I was pretty informed.
Yeah. Well, here's one thing I'd love to say about there are a lot of barriers to getting to the doctor, and you maybe not feel like you can't take time off from work, et cetera, but there are ways to get these exams for free. For one thing, I'm pretty sure that under the Affordable Care Act, mammograms are covered. A routine mammogram will be covered depending on your age. I think it's like starting at 40. And then also an annual visit to your gynecologist, including a breast exam, will be covered, meaning that you don't have to pay a copay for either of those things. That's if you have insurance. If you don't have insurance, then you're in a tougher spot. But there are also places that will offer free breast cancer screening. Some cancer clinics will, maybe Planned Parenthood would as well. So it's just worth looking into those things and trying to make the time.
Mm-hmm. That peace of mind, I think, is really valuable. You and I also share something that I thought was unique, but apparently it's not. We are young. You're 35. I'm 40. And when I first got my diagnosis, I thought it was rare. And my doctor quickly interjected and said, oh, no, like I have women in their 20s and 30s getting diagnosed every week in my office. And I found that shocking. Yeah. We now have data from the American Cancer Society, which came out during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, that breast cancer rates are rising among people under 50 years old. You talked about this in your Life Kit episode. What did you learn from the breast cancer researchers and doctors about this increase?
I was talking to Dr. Jason Malabi at MD Anderson Cancer Center, and he says that more than half of his patients now are under 50, and he specializes in breast cancer. And that is not how we used to think about breast cancer, and it's not what the data used to tell us about breast cancer. Doctors and researchers are still trying to figure out why this is happening. There are so many factors that go into your risk for breast cancer, your personal risk. And there are things that they can't quite pin down yet, but think might play a role, like environmental toxins. And then there are things that we know play a role, like if you take any sort of hormonal treatment, birth control, hormonal IUDs, even, and menopausal treatments, but that's more for women who are a little bit older, those can increase your risk of getting breast cancer. And then there's just other stuff, right? But we don't know exactly how this correlates with age or why it would be pushing, like why women who are younger would be getting breast cancer because of these things. But there's genetics, genetic mutations, those play less of a role than I had thought. I used to think, like, basically, if you got breast cancer at a young age, it must be because you had some sort of genetic mutation or strong family history. But in most cases, that's actually not true. But that said, if you have a genetic mutation, your risk goes up a lot. So it's worth knowing your family history to know if you fall in that category. Other things that can increase your risk: drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes for many years, a lack of physical activity, having high dose radiation to your chest, because let's say you're getting treated for another cancer, and also having dense breast tissue.
Let's get into dense breast tissue. I was told that I have dense breasts. My mom also has dense breasts, so I passed down from her to me. But that creates some challenges when you're going in for a mammogram. There are alternatives, of course, but what do you want people to know if they're told that they have dense breast tissue?
Yeah, so dense breast tissue, that might sound like it's something you can feel. In fact, I told a friend about this, and the first thing she did was she put her hand to her breast to be like, oh, is mine dense? It's not something that you can feel with your hands. It's something you can see on a mammogram, and it has to do with the ratio of glandular tissue in your breast to fatty tissue. And the reason this matters is that if you have fattier, less dense breast tissue, your breast will look gray on a mammogram. And then if there's a cancerous lesion, that can show up as bright white. And so it's in stark contrast. You can see it more easily. But if you have dense breast tissue, your entire breast will look white. And so if there is cancer there, you usually can't see it, with the exception of calcifications that can sometimes be cancerous or precancerous. And that's why mammograms can still be useful as part of the routine for women with dense breasts. But in general, if you have dense breast tissue, mammograms are not enough because they will not reliably catch breast cancer.
Yeah, I received a mammogram and an ultrasound, and I believe you can also get an MRI too if you have dense breast tissue.
So this is one of those things where different doctors will suggest different things. One practice that is starting to be used at some of the cancer centers, but maybe isn't used that widely yet. The doctor at MD Anderson was telling us about this, is a mammogram with contrast. So similar to how you get contrast for an MRI, you would get contrast just while you do the mammogram, and it makes it easier to see cancer on the mammogram if you have dense breast tissue, he said. But more commonly used are ultrasounds. And yeah, ultrasounds can be very useful if you already have a suspicious spot on your breasts. They point a wand at it, and they use sound waves to visualize the inside of your breast, but they're not that useful or reliable as a scan, as a routine scan of the entire breast. Whereas MRIs can be very useful, and they also don't use any radiation, so some people would prefer that, but they're very expensive as well. And a lot of the time people have trouble getting it covered by insurance. And sometimes, and I think this happens frequently with people who've already had breast cancer or are at high risk for breast cancer, they'll get a mammogram and ultrasound, and then 6 months later, MRI as their routine.
That's good to know. It was an important reminder for me that anyone can get breast cancer. A lot of focus is on women. It is the second leading cause of cancer for women. Men can get breast cancer. People of all genders can get breast cancer. And that risk can change if you're within the LGBTQ plus community or if you are male. And obviously that gets broken down by demographics if you're going to look at race and ethnicity as well. What did you learn about that?
Yeah, so it is quite rare for cisgender men, that is, men who were assigned male at birth and stuck with that gender. It's quite rare for them to get breast cancer, but it can still happen. It's more common if they have a strong family history of breast cancer or a genetic mutation. So if you're a man, a cisgender man, and you know that you have a lot of family members who've had breast cancer, that would be something to look into and to consider, talk to a doctor, consider whether you want to do genetic testing. And it's not just breast cancer. Sometimes some genetic mutations can cause several types of cancer. So you might have a family history of breast cancer and prostate cancer in men. And so those two can get lumped together, and that would give you even more evidence that you might want to get genetic testing done. For folks who are transgender, it really depends on their situation. And there are guidelines from, I believe it's the American College of Radiology, specifically for transgender folks. And it goes down kind of the list of what the situation is and what you might consider doing.
Finally, I mean, as we wind down this conversation, have you had moments of joy during what has probably been one of the hardest years of your life? I mean, I've been able to find some simple moments of joy. A lot of it has to do with people and support and feeling loved, or just something restorative, like listening to the birds and going for a walk and having time to myself. Have you had those moments as well in this past year?
Absolutely. I felt really loved and really supported by everyone in my life. I think I felt more loved than I ever have.
Same.
And I really didn't feel alone in it at all. And I haven't felt that. When I was actually going through the hardest parts of treatment, like chemo, I just took things really slowly. Like on the days that I felt good, I would walk to the park and sit and let the sun hit my face and listen to the birds or listen to kids playing and spend time with friends and folks who would come over and make food. I had to like let people help me with things, which isn't usually my way. I'm pretty independent, but
Same here.
that all brought a lot of joy. And I'm going to send you the picture that I took. It was like a selfie on my last day. And I'm wearing a pink feather boa that I forget who got it for me, but and the cold cap. And somebody said I looked like the queen. Like I was very like, I looked kind of regal, and my smile is so wide, and maybe it was the Ativan, but I think I just felt so overjoyed at having done this thing and finished it. And it was like I saved my own life, you know? And how much more joyful can you get than that?
Yeah. I know for myself, I keep going back to what some breast cancer survivors told me at the onset of me finding out that I have breast cancer and sharing it publicly. I heard this from a couple people. They don't even know each other. It's that although they would never want to go through something like this, they would never wish this upon anyone, in some ways, they're kind of grateful for it because it forced them to reevaluate their life and reevaluate how they live their life. I think it's very easy for us to go on autopilot in a lot of ways in our daily life. It's busy. And I can kind of see that. You know, I've been reevaluating a lot of what I do and how I could be doing it better and what my priorities are and what's just petty. Did you have those moments of reflection as well?
Yeah, I would say that it's made me a little bit more direct with people in saying what I want or what I don't want, or just removing myself from situations that don't feel good. And maybe it's made me have a little less, I put up with a little bit less. I'm just like, I don't know. We're not doing that. We're not at any negativity, like negative energy hate. I just say absolutely not to that. And at the same time, I realized just how loved I am. And that is going to stick with me.
Yeah, same here. And I'm also grateful for these conversations and talking to people who we're all part of a club that we don't want to be part of. But talking to people like you certainly makes this journey a whole lot easier. Thank you so much, Marielle.
Yeah, of course. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Marielle Segura is the host of NPR's Life Kit podcast and was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 35. She put together a breast cancer screening guide to help others. We have a link on our Insight page. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.